Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world and our realities and travel this cosmic journey we all call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Explore with us as we examine a metaphysical montage of spiritual insights covering everything from the mundane to the magical, UFOs to unicorns, and everything in between. Tonight, I am just absolutely delighted. I have an amazing guest with us, and I think you're going to totally enjoy her, as am I. We are going to be actually doing free readings in a little bit, so those of you who are interested in getting a free reading can call in at 310-421-4053 or 337-335-0085. My guest tonight is an amazingly lovely lady, and her name is Betsy Otter Thompson, and she is an author and a psychic, and so insightful, it's unbelievable. I love people who are old school, and she is definitely old school. That's not saying she's old, she's just old school. She is a native of Philadelphia, and she went to the University of Pennsylvania. She worked as an account executive for several Philadelphia radio stations and as a commercial print model, appearing in television commercials in Philadelphia and New York. After moving to California, she struggled and nearly became homeless. And after she recognized her tendency to blame everyone else for her problems and decided to become accountable, life switched and turned around, and she began to recover. For the next 18 years, she worked as an executive assistant to an entertainment executive in the film industry, and she retired in 2005. But she didn't really retire, because now she's writing full-time, and she has a number of amazing books out there. She has Love Human, she has Walking Through Illusion, and she has The Mirror Theory. And what drew me to her and her books was the fact that first of all, she has the same kind of background I look for in most people who are serving in the metaphysical community. She struggled. She had a difficult time. She came to a place where she was dealing with her own reality and the understanding that she did create her reality with her perception of it. And she began to share her message. She teaches the universal laws, and she does it in a very unique and different way. All of her books deal with mirror theories and illusions, and she writes the books in a way that you can relate to, as well as she makes the information so much more enjoyable to have that it is really a profound experience. So, Betsy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Barbara. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's you know, when I said old school, a lot of people don't understand what that means, but to me, old school is, first of all, you went through the dark night of the soul to get to where your gifts were, which is an amazing experience in and of itself. And then you decided to turn around and share the wisdom that you had gathered, which is a profound thing to do.
Well, it's sort of like I had the gift when I was really young, but, you know, I knew I could speak with spirit when I was at least about 4 or 5 years old. And I was talking to my great grandmother every night, and I thought it was really fun. And so I went to my sister, and I assumed at that age that everybody could do it if I could do it. So I went to my sister, and I told her what I was doing, and I asked her who she spoke to. And she sort of went ballistic and made me worry that, you know, if she reacted that way, how would everybody else react? And so I stopped communicating. And it wasn't until I feel like I had tried everything else to make my life meaningful, and nothing had worked. And so this was like, well, you know, at that point in my life, I said, I just thought I would try this and see what happened, because what did I have to lose? You know, I was in this one room roach infested apartment in California, and not making ends meet. And it was just, I thought, well, what I'm going to try this and see if I can, you know, and I started doing it again. And then I said, well, you know, I want to share what I hear. I want to take it out into the world, but gee, I sure need a job to support me while I do it. And 3 weeks later, I had the job with Castle Rock Entertainment, the second day they were in business, and I stayed working for the same man for the next 18 years and was able to retire. So it really is an amazing story of what happens when you be your authentic self, and when you acknowledge who you are, and then let the chips fall where they may. And it was just an amazing experience for me from that respect, that I finally was going to honor who I was. And then the universe was, it was like the universe said, oh, okay, if you're ready, I'm ready, we're ready, and here we go.
Yeah, I think that when you come to the point in your life where you accept responsibility and start to work on yourself instead of trying to change everybody else, that magic does happen in your life.
Yeah, and that's true. And I had been blaming everyone else. That's true, too.
It's more fun to do that than it is to take responsibility, for sure.
No, it's not more fun, but you think it's going to solve every problem, but all it does is create problems.
And it does. And I have to say that your books were phenomenal in that you do put that into all of them, that it's taking responsibility for what goes on in your life. And if you don't like what life is offering you, you can change it. You have the power to change it.
Yeah. Why that's so important, I think, for me at least, is because until you acknowledge that you are the creator of the problem, you don't think you can change it. And so you're sort of left just constantly blaming other people for your problems. And once you take responsibility and say, okay, I made that decision, nobody else made that decision, I made this decision, nobody else made this decision, then you can say, well, are those the kind of decisions I want to continue to make? And you put yourself in a position of power of being able to change things. But until you acknowledge the fact that you are the creator of what's happening, you're sort of left hanging without any choices.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so many people say, but I can't do it. But you can do it. And I think we're at a time where consciousness is shifting and changing for the entire planet. And in so doing, people are becoming more and more aware that they do have this control. Not everybody is at the place where they're going to suddenly change things around, but lots of times when people come for readings and stuff and they've lost their job, and, you know, I had one lady today and she said, well, I'm, you know, I hate my job. I need to change it. But I'm finding the job that I'm doing, I'm losing clients. And I said, well, congratulations. You understand how you can change your reality by your perception of it. You know, you've mastered that. You're losing your clients. Obviously, the job is going to go at some point. Why don't we try to refocus you on what you want to do if you grow up and see if we can't, you know, draw that energy in as well. So,
yeah, I have found that, Barbara, the thing that has worked for me is for a person who is unhappy in the job, that you know, that old theory, you take yourself with you wherever you go.
Uh-huh.
Until you can find the growth from where you are, you'll be unhappy in the next job. In other words, you take yourself with you rather than go. So if you're unhappy in a job, you can't find any growth, you're blaming everyone else for the fact that you're miserable, and that's what you're going to do in the next job too. So you have to find where have I grown from having this job? How can I bring more respect to the people I already work with? How can I do this and how can I do that instead of how can my boss do this and my boss do that?
Exactly. It does. It is amazing how we are brought face to face with where we are, and what happens within our reality is what we have perceived. And that's how we see ourselves.
Yeah. And more than likely in the job where you are saying, you know, I hate it here. I wish I could move on. I wish I'd find a new job. You're surrounded by other people who are doing exactly the same thing.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Misery loves company.
and like attracts like.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so true, and you know, a lot of the old wives' tales, old sayings, and things like that are out there are so true. They're universal wisdoms, and people just poo-poo them. We do have one caller,
okay.
So we're going to take the caller, and then you know, when we are done with the caller, we'll get back to your good stuff and my good stuff, and I will So area code 239, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. You only have one caller?
So far, Deb. Hi.
Well, I just saw you were actually doing readings. It's been a long time, but I don't have a question. Can I just say, does Spirit want to say anything to me?
Sure, you can say that. Have cards out for you. And actually, that's probably the smartest thing to say, because that means that we give you what Spirit gives us instead of, like when am I going
You're
to
fine.
Be, Prince Charming and stuff like that. I would say that you're in a period of time here where it's really important you take care of yourself. You take care of other people so much that it's unbelievable. And it feels as though Spirit really wants you to know that you do have a message to give, you do have a service to render, but until you've taken care of yourself first, you don't have anything of worth or value really to hand other people, except, your past experiences. And it feels to me as though that is a wonderful foundation to draw from. But at the same time, you are still healing yourself, and there is a healing process ongoing. And I would say probably for the next month and a half, possibly 2 months, you need to really focus on taking care of yourself, getting yourself back into where you need to be in order to pursue not only the dreams, but the goals that you came into this particular reality to achieve. And the dreams are part of that, of course. But it seems to me as though the next couple of months are times to, look at your diet, look at the amount of water you're drinking, look at, you know all the right things to do. Let's start doing them a little bit more. Can you relate to that?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right.
All righty.
Everything I'm doing to get inside to take care of myself.
All right, I'm going to pass you over to Betsy and see what she can add to that.
Okay.
Hi. What was your name again, Debbie?
Diana. I have a sister on the other side named Debbie.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay, because I just got a card. The card I got was about somebody being a guide to you, and I came up with the name Debbie. How about that?
All right.
Right.
Both very
good. So Debbie is, I'm getting goosebumps on that one. Debbie is saying, let me be your teacher. Let me guide you. Let me be your light. Listen to what I have to say. And let that just sit with you for a while. And sometimes you think that your thoughts are just willy-nilly, but they aren't willy-nilly. You're hearing something that your sister is telling you. And usually it's full of love. And I think that you're going to be going through some kind of, do you have a job? Do you work in the workforce?
Nope. Well, actually I just started Social Security, but there will be jobs.
Okay.
There will always be jobs.
I think something's going to change for you in terms of the job area. I think it's going to be perhaps scary at first, but worth the effort. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be something
on,
something in the career, in your career path, whatever that is. I don't know what your career path, is, but I'm saying there's going to be some sort of self-awakening or realization. It's going to maybe take you, some of the ideas you had in the past are sort of going to crash down. And what's going to happen is you're going to have new ideas to deal with, and new feelings of what's real to you and what isn't. Maybe it has to do with your sister and some sort of communication she's trying to make with you. And you have in your family is, you feel like you're put in a position with your family that sometimes you have to make a choice that leave someone else behind, and you don't like that so much?
Yeah, I've already done that.
Okay.
I left all the haters of the spiritual people behind. Yeah, I did that.
So you sort of taken a path that you needed to take for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did that.
Okay.
I let go.
And I wanted to pick up on something that Barbara was saying in terms of your health. It's about looking for the love in your life and stop focusing on where there isn't any love. In other words, sometimes we get caught so much on what we think isn't happening instead of focusing on what is happening. And my message tonight is to just focus on where the love is and forget about where it isn't.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay.
So she was the one holding my hand tonight then. That was Debbie, huh?
I think so.
I was a child. When I was a child, she held my hand. Like, I'd be 5 years old and wake up and somebody would hold my hand. I figured, just when you said that, that must have been her holding my hand tonight. Here, I'm now 62, no longer 5. But, you know, she died right before I was born. Mom was pregnant with me when she died. So I never really got to see her, but she was always a childhood friend. Okay. Thank you, girls, very, very much. I will go back to listening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's funny, because I called her Deb when I pulled her on the air. Isn't that weird?
Well, I think Deb's working behind the scenes on both of us.
Boy, I would think so. Okie doke. So you know, we've pulled in the fact that spirit does talk to us, and lots of people ask, and I'll put it to you as well. It's a matter of how do you know when spirit's talking and it isn't your ego?
Because spirit only speaks of love and respect and gratitude and all the good things. And ego is always talking about the illusion, what you're going to get in the illusion, what you're going to get from somebody else, what you're going to get in the picture of life instead of how you're going to grow emotionally. That's the difference.
Well, and also one of the things that people always ask me, and you know, it's a good question. When they have a loved one that has passed over, and so many people want so badly to hear from the person that's passed over, to you know, be able to communicate with them, to know that they're okay, and so many people come and you know, they will sit and cry and say, he's been gone for 6 months, or he's been gone for a year and I haven't heard from him, he hasn't come to me. How do I know if a loved one is trying to communicate with me?
I think that you just put your heart out there and you say, ask a question and ask the loved one a question. I'd like to urge the idea that has helped me. The illusion that we live in, the picture we see, isn't real. The only thing that is real is the love that you have in your heart. That's the only thing real in me. That's the only thing real in you. That's the only thing real in everyone. So if you're dealing with the real and forget about the illusion of what you can see and what you can't see, what you see is going to disappear anyway. It's just a short-term thing that we come here to play in this illusion where we see things and we feel things and we touch things. None of it lasts, and so it's temporary. It's just an illusion. So if you think of your real connection with whoever you're trying to talk to is emotional, so it's the love you want to share with that person. So if you just say, I want to share a few feelings with you, how I feel or how I love you, and then just wait and see what comes into your head, because spirit doesn't speak with a voice, it speaks with emotion.
Yeah, I think that's what so many people have to understand. It isn't that Uncle Fred is going to necessarily, you know, pop into your head and say, "Hi, it's Fred here." You'll get symbols, you'll get images, you'll get smells, you'll get scents, you'll see things that will remind you of that person. Or music will play on the radio that you attribute to that person, and it's you know, we're dealing on a telepathic level here rather than on the physical level,
and exactly.
So it's a matter of being sensitive to the images, to the impressions that are being sent to us. I want to go to a couple of your books, because you've chosen an amazingly, I think, brilliant way to teach some of the spiritual laws that are out there, those of illusion, those of, you know, the mirror, the law of reflection and stuff like that. And you've done it through channeling. Your stories are explained. the illusion book, I dropped down that, so I want to be able to pull up the name of the book. I've read three of your books, and they, you know, they kind of now all blend together. So
yeah, it's okay. Walking Through Illusion, all my books happen the same way. I don't know how it happens because it's the same way it happens for an artist. Where does an artist get their image that they put on paper? It comes through them somehow, and they have that image, they see it, and then they put it on paper. But if you ask them where it comes from, they wouldn't be able to tell you any more than I can tell you how, you know, the process of how it happens. Or a musician may hear a tune. He hears a tune in his head. Where does that come from? It's just there. And then he interprets that into a guitar or a piano or whatever, and then the creation is. But that's what happens to me. I sit down and I say I'm ready to, well, spirit knows I'm ready to write when I sit down, and it just comes to me. So I can't explain how that happens because I haven't the faintest idea how it happens. It just happens. Like same thing for a musician, for an artist, for even for someone who's handy with tools. In fact, my son said to me one day, you know, cars talk to me. He knows everything about cars. He can drive a car and he can tell by driving the car what's wrong with the car. He said, cars talk to me. So, I mean, I was floored when he said that, but I loved hearing that because it's communication with, you know, it's communication of a kind that I couldn't do, but he can do it.
Well, and, you know, it's sort of like, there's a knowingness, and it's really amazing how things pop up, and you know, for me there is a sense of often with plants, I know when a plant needs something. I know when a plant's happy and when it's not. So it's energy, and it's reading energy. And so many people, you know, when you're dealing with metaphysics and the non-physical world and reality, you have to understand it's not the solid stuff. It's the imagery. It's the essence that you're interpreting and that you're drawing from when readers read other people. They're sharing energy with them. They're not, we don't get a typed out text on a PDF file.
I love that you brought up the plants, Barbara. I love that because I don't have a green thumb at all. I can't sense that at all. And yet you can. So we come here with different ways, our different gifts within us. And everybody has their own particular way of sensing that energy and using it in this game we're playing called humanness. And so if somebody came to me and said, well, how can I find my gift? I would say, just love what is. Love who you are today, because as you love who you are today, tomorrow you are a deeper and more insightful person.
Mm-hmm. And it's true. And it's so many people think that becoming psychic is something that you learn. It's not. It's something that you are and that you embrace and that you
and
will
that you allow. And that you
yeah.
Allow. Yes.
And that's the big word. And it's I mean, we all have the abilities, you know, in our DNA. And it's a matter of, is it going to be triggered? Is it going to be activated this lifetime? And it certainly can be, but it takes work on the self. And I think you brilliantly, you know, show people how that if they want to make changes, they change themselves. And you know, explain how your books happen, because I think it's a fascinating story.
Well, what part of that did you want to hear about?
Well, it's sort of like you had wisdoms to share, you didn't know how to share them, and suddenly you're channeling Jesus talking about his disciples and how reflection and illusion happened in their lives and how they came to change their lives and accept the responsibility for dealing with their lives. How did that evolve? I mean, not
well,
everybody.
What happened was when I knew that I was going to be using the gift again and I started using it, I asked myself the question, what is it, you know, if I have this gift and I can ask a question, and I can learn something I don't know, who is it I want to, what do I want to really know? And what came to me right away was I would really like to know about Jesus himself as a person when he lived his life. I would like to know about him. And so it was like, for instance, I don't know how, you know, I get frustrated because it's hard for me to explain, but I just sat down and I said, I would like to know about you. And I asked the question. I asked the question through on my computer, like typing it or writing on a piece of paper. And then I waited for the answer to come, and I just heard it in my head. I mean, that's the way it happened. It just, and when I was very surprised by what I was hearing, because it was certainly against everything I'd been taught when I was young about Jesus's life and the people he knew, it was sort of, oh my God, is this, can I trust what I'm hearing? Because it was so, so different, you know, but I gave myself this wonderful, reassurance to myself. I just took the stance that I'm doing this for me. I don't have to share this with anybody, because that's where you get scared when you start to do this kind of work. Well, what if somebody thinks this, you know, challenges me on this, or what if somebody challenges me on that? Because you're not used to doing it, and you get afraid that maybe you're writing something wrong. So I just said, I'm not going to show this to anybody. I mean, I don't have to ever show this to somebody. It can be just for me. And from just giving me that myself, that privilege, the whole book just unfolded like crazy.
Yeah, and it does. And that's, I think, what is, it is hard to explain to people, because you just know something. And, you know, it wasn't really important that you be absolutely meticulously accurate. It was the message that was coming across that you illustrated so beautifully. Yeah, you know, you can talk to people about the universal laws, but you've illustrated them amazingly well. And in the way that you have illustrated them, it gives people something to compare to and reflect upon within their own lives. You know, accepting responsibility, loving yourself. If you give something unconditionally, it absolutely returns to you, not necessarily immediately, but it does. There is a, you know, there is a return that you never. My grandmother used to say, and she was not into this stuff at all. I think she's probably twirling in her grave a lot, knowing what I'm up to and my sister is up to. But happily, she's passed over, so she doesn't have to know. Well, she knows from the other side. But yeah. her saying was, the love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. And it's about every gift that you have. When you share it unconditionally, it comes back to you. And when you can't be looking for the return, you know, gifts have to be unconditional. You have to totally release them, and then gifts come back to you at another time frame when you most need them, usually.
Right.
And it's, you know, you're paying forward. And your book just The one that I can't say I liked any better than others, because they were all so unique. But what I found fascinating was that you're definitely utilizing the universal laws here, and you're putting them out here, and they're the important ones. They're the ones that people really should know about. I mean, all of them are important, but the law of reflection and the law of illusion are just, I mean, they're ones that people should really pay attention to and investigate and learn about, because they can change and shift your life and your perspective so immensely that it's unbelievable. And even though you know the philosophy, do you always walk it?
Well, I try to. I'm human like everybody else, and sometimes I forget. I always come back to the truth eventually, but sometimes it will take me longer than other times. But I just wanted to say, if you can remember that your feelings are out there for everyone to feel. You cannot hide your feelings. You can pretend you don't feel a certain way, but the person feels how you feel anyway, because feelings are you're always communicating with other people in terms of your feelings, because that's the real part of you. And I have a wonderful example of this, of how this worked for me in my job. I had at one point I had somebody I was working with who I really could not get along with. I was having a hard time with this person, and I would go home every night and I would talk about, how did this person ever get this job? How did she ever, she's so incapable, she doesn't do a good job. I went on and on with myself about this person. And although I never said anything to her, she could feel my opinion. And so she felt it, and then she would get defensive without even realizing why she was getting defensive. And so I went home one night and I said, wait a minute, I have to put my money where my mouth is and ask myself what I'm doing that's creating, you know, contributing to this relationship being so difficult. And so I realized that what I was doing was focusing on the negative over and over and over and over. And so I had to focus on what was positive about this person, what they did do well instead of what they didn't do well, how they were nice at sometimes instead of how they weren't nice. And as I did this for over a period of about 2 weeks, by the end of the 2 weeks, the relationship had completely changed because my attitude had changed, and therefore she felt it and responded to it. So I didn't ever say a word to her one way or the other. It was all through what we felt from each other back and forth.
Wow. Well, it's just it you know, when people are having issues, when they complain about other people and you know, it's like it's a reflection of the people you draw to yourself are a reflection of parts of you.
They are. Exactly. They are a mirror of you. If you do not like the people in front of you, it isn't about telling yourself that you need somebody else. It's about seeing what they reflect. What it is about them that is reflecting something to you that you need to know about yourself. And this comes back to the idea that you talked about in the beginning about everything sources from you outward. In other words, creation is from inside out, not outside in. So if you want to create a different situation with this person, then start sending them loving thoughts. Start finding what you like about them. Start looking for what's good about them instead of focusing on everything you think is wrong with them. Because this is the only way you'll change the situation. And if you think that it's going to change if another person comes into your life, wrong. Because if you were doing that with the last person, you'll do the same thing with the next person until you realize that you are the one who needs to change the way you are reacting to other people.
Yeah, no, that's what I find so fascinating is that, you know, we really are in control. We really do have the ability to, we are given the tools to make the changes that we think we want. And, you know, not always, not always does it quite work that way, but we don't always use the tools.
Everyone is a gift. Everyone is a gift that comes into our life. And if you look at them as a gift, that someone who is doing you a service instead of a disservice, that's when you really start to grow.
Yeah. And I think that what I'm seeing today with people that I'm coming in contact with is that people are kind of coming out of a stupor. They are no longer apathetic. They care. And so many times they complain about the situations they're in, but they've created them. And they create them so that they can grow.
And yes, this works on the mass consciousness too, Barbara, because the citizens of our country can wish for a government that balances the budget and it's fiscally responsible, but it's not going to happen until the people in this country are doing the same thing because we're getting our mirror.
Exactly.
They're mirroring, you know, the government reflects the mass consciousness. So when the mass consciousness changes to being fiscally responsible, not blaming other people for everything that happens, then the government will elect people who reflect that mentality. So even when it comes to the government, it comes to each one of us living as the person we want other people to be.
Yes. And well, that's what relationship is too. You know, you want a soulmate, you become that person that you want to attract into your life.
Yeah.
And so many people, you know, especially women will say to me, well, I need to have someone in my life to complete me. And, you know, I just look at them and say, if you don't feel complete, don't go looking. You'll attract people who aren't complete, you know, as well.
Yeah. I always tell people to write down, take a piece of paper and don't trust this to your head. Write it down, naming all the qualities you want to have in a person who comes into your life, whether it's a romantic relationship, whether it's a business partner, whatever it is, write down all the qualities you want this person to have. And then after you get your list, whether it's 5 things or 30 things, take each thing that you wrote down that you want the other person to be and start being that person, because that's the only way you'll attract that person into your life. And if you aren't being the person you write down on this list that you want to meet, then the person you want to meet is off meeting somebody else who reflects him or her, not mm-hmm. you. So this is all, again, about the idea that we started with, that you create your own reality in that you attract back to you the energy you are putting out there. And this even goes for if you don't know a person, if you're talking about someone you don't know, someone you haven't even met, that energy that you're putting out there is traveling to that person. Even if they're in Europe, even if they're in outer space, even if they're on the other side, that energy is going to them because there's nothing that keeps that energy from going. You can't keep energy in a space called matter. It doesn't work that way. The energy is everywhere. The energy, everything is energy, and we are all one. So within that oneness, you are finding the people, or you are affecting the people who are in that oneness. And that's the kind of, even if you don't draw nastiness back from the person in Europe that you don't even know that you're talking about, that is your energy. And so therefore, that is the energy you will draw back to you in other people.
Exactly. And that is such an important lesson for today. Everyone is sitting in judgment of everyone else just about. So the element of judgment is coming in here. You know, I can't be with this person because I'm more evolved than them, or I deserve better than this, so I am going to try to make this person into somebody that would be perfect for me. I mean, we can't do that.
Well, but if you try doing it, you'll be doing it for the rest of your life, because people don't come here to be the person you want them to be. They come here to be the person they need to be. And the same thing goes for you. The same thing goes for me. We come here to be the people we need to be. And if you try to change people, you can't change people even if you want to. And why would you want to? They have their own lives to live and their own growth to live. And if you want to change them, all you do is attract people into your life who want to change you.
Exactly. And that's why people don't pay attention to this mirror. And the mirror is there. It's in your face all the time. If you don't like what you see, if you don't like where you are, you have the ability to change it. And then the next thing people will say to you is, so, all right, smarty pants, how do I change it? And so I put it to you, but I won't call you smarty pants. So, okay, a person comes to you and they don't like their situation in life, and you say you need to change yourself. How do people change themselves?
They turn themselves into the person they want to meet. You want to meet somebody who lives with integrity, then live with integrity. You want someone who's very loyal, then be loyal. And that doesn't mean that you just be loyal to one person. It means that you have in your aura the idea of loyalty, that you're going to be loyal to people, that you're going to not speak badly about your friends. Because, you know, if you have friends and you speak badly about them with someone else, or you gossip, then pretty soon you're the one that gets gossiped about. That's just how it works.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I think you've really specifically put, that's what I was looking for, the fact that you're looking for a person to live your life with, and these are qualities that you want them to have. Those are qualities that you apply to every single aspect of your life, not just relationship. In other words, the integrity goes towards the person who checks out your food at the grocery store, the mailman, the garbage collector, the stranger that you bump into by accident. It's you apply it to every aspect of your life, not just anybody that might be relationship oriented. You don't change a part of your life; you change the whole life.
Right. And you know, I love to use examples of my life, because I think it's helpful to see that the process that I went through and still go through. And I had a good friend who was making choices that I didn't think were very smart, and I was sort of telling her how to what decision she should be making instead. And so then I started noticing that somebody I was working with was being extremely patronizing toward me. And I was furious, you know, I was furious because for me, it was all about the other person changing and not being patronizing. But I came home from work and I said, and I, you know, this is the time that when I, after I experience it, I come back and I go through it. Now, wait a minute. Okay. So how do I feel? I feel patronized. I feel belittled. I feel like this person doesn't have enough faith in me. And all those feelings. And then I said, now, who have I done this to? I actually go through this exercise. Who have I done this to? And the second I say that to myself, it comes to me who I was doing it to. And I realized that when I was belittling my friend, I was sort of insulting her by saying I didn't have faith in her wisdom. I didn't, you know, believe that she could iron this out without me guiding her, which is ridiculous. And so I called her immediately and I told her, you know, I just want to apologize and I have complete faith in you making the best decision for you. And I just want to tell you you have my support, whatever you decide to do. And when I went back to work, this person didn't change, but I had changed. So the judgment just sort of bounced right off me, or the patronization just sort of bounced right off me. I noticed it, but I didn't care anymore. It didn't impact me emotionally because I had healed that emotional problem within me. And so therefore it was like, we all have this aura that is around us. And within that aura are all the ideas that we're putting out into the universe. So if an idea comes towards you that you haven't put out, you don't feel it. It doesn't impact you. It sort of bounces off your aura. You notice it and you see it and you say, oh, there it is. But it doesn't impact you.
Just sort of kind of like been there, done that. Let's move on.
Yeah. Or you just notice it. You notice it's happening, but it doesn't touch you emotionally.
Yeah, it's a tough place to be. It really is. When you went through a very, very difficult time in your life, and you know, everybody has a different way of coming into what I would call enlightenment. And it doesn't mean we know everything. It just means we have a better idea of where to go for help. And
it means we know ourselves better, Barbara. That's
yeah.
We know ourselves better, because when you do that inner study of remembering that everything sources within, it forces you to get to know yourself better. And it's not about getting down on yourself. It's just about honesty. I don't think that spirit ever wants you to say, oh, I'm a horrible person, because this is just a process. You know, we come here to play and to learn into this human game, and it's all a process. And so it's not about getting down on yourself and then feeling guilty about this and feeling guilty about that. It's just about acknowledging it and moving on.
Oh yeah. No, that certainly is the important part of it. And it's, you know, we become better people, we become happier. And that's another thing, you know, people just, you know, I just want to be happy. And being happy means that you are paying attention to how you're impacting other people. And that's important.
Yeah. I learned something really important when I heard this phrase or this message that the universe thinks everything is love. So therefore, if I'm expressing myself, the universe thinks that I'm expressing my definition of love. So if I am being, as I was, patronizing to this person regarding her journey and her path, the universe said to itself, oh, well, Betsy thinks patronization is love. So let's give her lots more of that back.
Yes. That reflection every now and then is terribly embarrassing.
I know, but it's only embarrassing until you acknowledge it and are able to do something about it. Because until I said to myself, yes, I drew that to me because I was patronizing, I had the power to stop being patronizing. But if I didn't acknowledge that it started with me, then I would have continued I would have continued to treat my friend the way I was, and I would have continued to have the patronizing person bugging me every day. So I was the one who had to say, wait a minute, I began this, so it has to end. It began with me, so it ends with me.
Yeah, I often tell people that, you know, when they say everybody gives me their problems but doesn't listen to, you know, how I can solve them, and the I said, well, you're not supposed to. The best answer is, I really believe in you. You're a super person. I know you'll do the right thing at the right time in the right way.
Yes, and isn't that what we want from everyone else? We just want them to believe in our, you know, to support us in the journey we're on. That's all we want from other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to be shortly hearing some music, and that's going to tell us we're going into the break. I'm just kind of warning you because I have no idea when it's going to happen, but I do see close to the top of the hour, but my clock and Blog Talk, and not Blog Talk, but Freedom Slip's clock is different than mine. So when it happens, you know, we will take a 3 to 5 minute break and then we'll be back and we'll keep going. I think that from your message is so important. And it just, to me, it's like, it's important to get it out there. And no matter, and if we can say it, you know, 12 million billion times in different ways and hit different people, I think it's really, really important. Do want to add that.
Well, I wrote a book about, I don't think you mentioned it in the intro, but I wrote a book called The What Happens If I book. And it's all about all the questions I had. What happens if I do this? What happens if I do that? And so we can talk about that and how each chapter is like, you know, what happens if I can't create without fear? What happens if I think I have to be perfect? What happens if I do what I love but the money doesn't come? All the things that we ask ourselves. What happens if I don't pay back my loans?
I can think what happens there. After the break, we are going to be taking readings. If you want to call in for one, the number is 310-421-4053 or 337-335-0085. Apparently there is technical stuff going on all over the place. So you know, we are just by the seat of our pants, sort of, but at least we've got Patrick here, so he will make sure that we don't, you know, go into the void and not talk to anybody.
To the degree that I can.
Well, the only reason that you're in the position you're in is because you are the best there is. So,
well, thank you.
Well, I do trust that no matter what happens, you will be able to either solve it or take the credit for it. So
there you go. Hey, here it comes.
There's our music. We'll be back in 3 to 5, people.
And we are back. Barbara, are you on mute? Betsy, can you hear
me? I'm here.
Okay.
All right. So I forgot to unmute. Can you hear me now?
Certainly can.
Okie dokie. So I will welcome people back again and mention that if you like what you're hearing, click over to the support page and make a donation to help us keep this amazing station up and running. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com is totally listener supported, and from the owner to the host to the producers, who we can't live without, to the staff, all are working here because we love the work and are dedicated to putting out quality material for all of you. Be it large or small, every donation is greatly appreciated and helps us all keep on supplying information and material to educate and enlighten you. And that isn't found anywhere else. So everything is so greatly appreciated. So help us out here because, you know, without you guys, there is no show. But without you guys, there is no show, literally. So we're doing free readings also. We're talking to Patsy Otter-Thompson. And if you want a reading, you can call in at 310-421-4053 or 337-335-0085.
We just
got
a caller.
Oh, son of a gun. Hi, caller. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastically well. How can we help?
The question I want to ask is, I want to know what happened to me, what changes would I have to make in myself so it never happen again.
Okay. I'm going to throw this to Betsy because I think she's probably better prepared to answer it than I am. Betsy?
Okay, what is your name again?
Ellen.
Ellen? Okay, so something happened to you and you don't want it to ever happen again, right?
And I take full responsibility for it. You know, I take full responsibility.
Okay.
And I want to change whatever I have to change in my personality.
Okay, so tell me how. Okay, tell me when this thing happened to you, how did it make you feel?
A lot more reflection in the dynamics of society, of the dynamics of the relationship.
Okay, so wait a minute. I'm going to stop you here because your reflection is not an emotion. You have to give me an emotion. How did you feel?
Okay, a deep sadness and compassion and understanding that.
Wait a minute. Compassion for who?
The other part, a person.
You felt compassion for the other person. Mm-hmm. And what did you
and
feel?
Also for myself.
Okay, and what other emotions came up? You said you felt what?
Sadness, compassion.
You felt sadness for yourself?
For both.
Okay, so what did you feel? Forget about the other person. What did you feel?
Sadness.
Sadness. And
some guilt.
Helen, you must have guilt. Okay, guilt. Okay, so you must have had, if you don't want this to ever happen again, you had some really strong emotions around it. And those really strong emotions are what I want you to tell me. What were those really strong emotions that you had that you don't want it to ever happen again?
Loneliness, regret.
Okay, loneliness, regret. And what else? Guilt, did you say guilt?
Understanding.
Okay, and I think you said guilt before, right?
Sorry, what did you say?
Didn't you say you felt guilty?
Yes.
Okay,
there's some guilt.
Okay, so you felt lonely, you felt regretful, you felt guilty, right?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was that one?
Sorry.
Well, wasn't there anger too? I'm seeing anger here as well.
Yes, there would have been some anger as well, Barbara.
Okay. So you felt
frustration. Frustration.
Frustration. Okay, wonderful. Okay, now I want you to, after you stop talking to us, write these feelings down. And what you need to ask yourself is, because you felt these feelings so powerfully, you felt regretful, you felt guilty, you felt angry, you felt frustrated. And you can do this on your own. You don't have to do it in front of us. You don't have to tell us, but you need to do it for yourself. What you need to do is ask yourself, who have I made feel guilty? Who have I made feel angry? Who have I frustrated? Who have I made feel regretful? Because they are the answers to never having it happen again. If you can ask yourself in the privacy of your own self, when you are by yourself, if you can say, okay, I made this person feel angry one time, I made this person feel guilty, because that's why you had these strong emotions when it happened, because those feelings were all in your aura telling the universe that it's okay to give those feelings, and therefore they were coming back to you.
Now, and I agree with that. Now, I attended something, and we were encouraged to, you know, spell it out, puke it up, whatever you want. Now, but I am learning now that maybe that was not the best way to do things.
It's only about admitting to yourself, Helen, what you put out to other towards other people. And you don't even have to, you don't have to share that with them. Don't be ashamed of it. It's just part of being human. It's part of growth. But this is how you get past not receiving it again. Because if you don't put those feelings out towards other people, you won't feel them again. Because you're putting out a different emotion. In other words, when you know that you have caused someone to feel frustrated, and you know that you have caused someone to feel guilty, then you have the power to stop doing it.
That's right.
Okay? And the power, this is all about giving you the power and taking over, you taking the power of knowing that if I created those feelings, then I can create something else.
Yeah, I want to step in here too. I agree with everything Betsy's saying. I mean, that's absolutely wonderful, valid information. I'm sensing also that you are an amazingly empathic person, so that you sense the feelings of other people and you want to help them.
That's right.
And you tend to not, of all of the gifts one can be given, empathy is one of the hardest, I think, to deal with, because much as you see and feel what's going on in other people, you take it into yourself, and a true empath has to be able to channel it through and not hold on to it. And the reality here is that we are here as individuals to grow individually. We aren't meant necessarily to heal other people. We are meant to heal ourselves. And so with this gift of empathy, where you are so compassionate and you want to take care of other people, it's hard to realize that what you're sensing is something inside of you that needs to be fixed, as opposed to you trying to fix other people. And that's where I feel you may stumble into, getting stuck in goop, because while you're recognizing it and feeling it, you want to help them to heal themselves, and you can't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
You've narrowed it to I feel even beyond the other feelings I expressed. The main root of it was because of empathy.
Okay, so you have this talent and this gift. Instead of regurgitating it out, because, you know, as an empath, you are going to feel more strongly and deeply than a lot of other people. So recognize that you are sensing something inside of yourself, and instead of trying to help the other person, you know, sit back and say, okay, where, and I send you then back over to everything Betsy said. Why is this feeling washing over me? Why am I resonating to it so tremendously? Is there a place in my life where I need to correct things? And then look for them, and exactly the experience, the things that she listed for you, apply them. But understand that you are probably always going to react, especially crowds must be hell for you, by the way.
Sorry, what did you say?
Crowds must be hell.
Mm-hmm.
You probably come home and want to take a shower. So I don't know of any way of turning off empathy. I think it's a wonderful gift and a talent, and it would make you a phenomenal counselor, but only if you only listen and you don't try to tell people how to solve their own problems. You need to address yourself to you more than other people.
It isn't about fixing anybody else. That it's always about reflecting on self. And don't judge yourself for having all these feelings, Helen. The judgment has no place in this at all. Don't judge yourself for being angry. Don't judge yourself for being frustrated. Just say, it's just a feeling. You know, feelings come and go, and it's just a feeling. And it's not very comfortable. That's why. You know, we've gone through it, and we want to help you get through it too. We don't want to feel angry and frustrated either. And so, you know, it's about looking at yourself and saying, where have I given that to somebody else? Or trying to fix is a good word, because we all have gone through that. I can promise you, we've all gone through phases of trying to fix people. But people don't need to be fixed. The thing is, they don't need to be fixed, because they're on a path that is right for them. And they need it, or they wouldn't have it. And it's about trusting that their souls know what they need for this journey, and our soul knows what we need, but we don't know for them.
Unfortunately. but we draw to ourselves people that need to hear what we need to hear. So, I would send you to your mirror and look at yourself and say, okay, this resonates to me, how and where does it resonate, and how can I fix myself? So it's an amazing gift that you've got. And the best way to help other people is to listen, but not react. Mm-hmm. And yes. they don't want you to tell them what to do. They really want you to just listen. And listening you can do. But they also are a gift to you to tell you, you know, what to look for inside of yourself. That's why I love doing readings, because it gives me it teaches me that there are things within myself that I still need to deal with, you know, duh. And it gives me directions as to where to look for them. So actually all of the calls that I get, all of the readings that I do are a wonderful form of personal therapy for me.
We're all learning together. If you didn't mirror us in some way, Helen, we wouldn't be on the phone together. Mm-hmm. So while we're trying to help you, you're helping us too. Mm-hmm. After all, we're all mirrors of each other tonight.
Yeah. So in essence, you know, you're enforcing what we've been saying all along. It's your job to take care of you, to make yourself a better person, because when you do that, then you draw to yourself other people, and you also become a living example of walking your talk, which is, you know, crucial in order for the world to become a better place.
You can also ask yourself, Helen, what do I wish this other person had done in that situation? You know, what do you wish they had said, or how do you wish they had behaved in the situation? And that's how you need to behave. In other words, if they made you feel guilty, then you need to not make other people feel guilty. If they made you angry, then you need to not make other people feel angry. That's how it works, because once you take the power and say, okay, I can change it. It isn't up to other people. It isn't the people that are making me angry or frustrated. It's the frustration and anger I gave to others that is making me feel frustrated and angry. I know that's hard to see at first, but if you try it just a little bit at a time, you know, progress doesn't happen overnight. We all grow as fast as we can and as slow as we can, and it's fine. It doesn't matter how fast you grow. The fact that you want help is the biggest and the most important step of all.
Absolutely. And so often judgment is connected to anger, or anger is connected to judgment. It seems to be a vicious circle or cycle or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've been in this field for 50 years. Betsy's been in it for a long time too. And, you know, that's something that we're all constantly working on. It's not that, you know, that I have achieved mastery over any of this stuff. I'm still working on all of it too.
When we don't need to work on it anymore, we leave here. If you didn't have more to learn, we wouldn't be here, right?
I am so very glad I have so much work to do. It's unbelievable.
Then you'll be here a long time. Judgment, I see that as part, in particular, certain professions as well.
Uh-huh.
That we get stuck on in that judgment area.
Yeah. Yes, we do. And politics. We get stuck in judgment in politics, too. Instead of just saying, you know, what's happening in politics is what needs to happen. And if the people want to change the politicians, then they need to be the people they want the politicians to be.
Yes. What is?
And that just sort of erases judgment. You know, it's like they're on a path too, and it's just about, you know, and, you know, the thing is, if you be the person you want those people to be, they don't bother you anymore, because they don't have qualities that are reflecting in you. They reflect something about you. I know it sounds like, in theory, this sounds like, can it really work this way? You just have to prove it to yourself. Because I know I heard a lot of theories, but it wasn't until I proved to myself that they worked that it really sunk in.
I've seen it work. I saw it work in the last little while when... I had elevated myself to some of the things that you're telling me to do, and not to say, but to, you know, just observe, and not to change. And I saw much more of a harmony near the end.
Good. Wonderful. That's what you're after. That's what we're all after.
Yeah, but don't worry. There's always another challenge around the corner.
There's a lot of them.
Well, you know what happens is Spirit says, "Oh, she gets that. Wonderful. Now she's ready for the next growth spurt."
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the happy part of all of this. And I think that when we start to recognize that this journey is first of all, one that we charted for ourselves, and second of all, that we haven't really put anything out there that is going to be too difficult for us to be able to achieve, that when you know that there may be a problem, there may be an issue, but you know that you have the answer inside of you because you posed the question, and you can't pose the question if you don't know the answer.
Right. One thing that you did mention is taking care of you. I have been brought up in an era where that was not frowned upon, that was not accepted. And I think there's a balance there too of how much you should look after. Is there not a balance of how much you can look after yourself? Yes, growing and learning and expanding, yes. But taking care of you, what does that mean? Could it be developing more of an ego rather than having being more self-centered? Self-centered.
It's not being selfish, it's surviving. And if you don't really take care of yourself on an emotional and a psychic and a metaphysical and a physical level, if you don't take care of yourself, you have nothing of worth to share with other people. Mm-hmm. So
people learn from example. People learn from example. If they see you living a happy life and see you being kind to yourself and being loving to yourself, that gives them the opportunity to see what they're looking for. Somebody who is taking care of themselves, that is helping others when it's okay to, you know, when it's comfortable to do so. But sacrifice doesn't come into this, Helen. It's not healthy to sacrifice.
The Martyr Club has been closed for a very long time.
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't close with me all the time. It did close a long time ago.
Nobody, look at it this way. Nobody likes to be around a martyr.
Mm-hmm,
So if you are one, nobody's going to want to be with you.
No.
No.
So it's a balance. And I think that in a lot of cases, you take a look at, you know, do I have time for myself? Am I doing some things that I enjoy doing that give me joy? And if you are constantly focusing on other people, you're totally out of balance. But if you make time, if you balance yourself so that you have me time and then you have the rest of the world time, then you are capable and able to function. If you are out of balance, all you do is shove other people out of balance too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what helps me is when I'm in the middle of a conversation or I'm dealing with something, I stop myself and I say, wait a minute, is this something I want to get back? And just as I ask myself that question, I know what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you've got a wonderful gift that is, you know, sometimes pretty heavy, but it's a great gift. And you have to know that just by listening to people share their difficulties with you, even if you don't give them any answers or directions, you have given them a gift. You have given them the absolute most precious thing you have to share with anyone, and that's time. You don't have to answer anything. You don't have to give them solutions. Just listening to them is a great gift in and of itself.
And remember, Helen, you don't have their solutions.
Well, that's true, too.
Nobody has anyone else's solutions. So that's a good thing to remember, too. Nobody has your solutions either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have them.
You can always put a curve, you know, have you thought of this or have you thought about that, and throw out a little bit like that.
Could no,
No, you don't need to do that.
Nothing.
If it's important to them, they'll think of it themselves. And people do are much more likely to follow through when they thought of it instead of when you thought of it.
Yes,
I mean, you can always say, you know, what kind of solutions have you thought of? Have you thought of everything? Are there other directions you could go? And if they say no, then they're meant to be in that place for a while. So, you know, it's sort of like, okay, so maybe you're meant to develop patience at this point in time until other things open up for you. So no, if you start to give, I have found something that is very true of, and I don't mean to be sexist. It's more true for men than it is for women, but it's true of women too. If you have what you feel is the most brilliant idea in the world for them and you tell them about it, they will absolutely not take it up because it wasn't theirs, even though you got it from their energy field. If they are inspired by it and it comes from them, they will manifest it. So you know, give them the time in order to chew on things and you know, find it inside of them. So if you can see it inside of them, then they most probably can too, given the time. But you know, if you know something that's so brilliant, you just want to tell them so bad you could scream, don't, because it means that they're very close to thinking of it themselves.
Right.
And also, another way you can share with other people is you can say, this is what happened to me one time, and this is what helped me. I don't know if it would help you or not, but it helped me. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's not really about them. It's about you sharing a part of your life and where you felt you helped yourself. And then you show them that they can help themselves too.
But don't make up a story. If it hasn't happened to you, don't say
it. Oh, no, it has to be authentic.
Yeah.
I hope we helped.
You did. You made me think a lot.
Good. Okay. That's good.
I'm going to go back and just lay down and think about all what you said.
Thanks for calling.
Because I've been thinking of it the last little while.
Okay.
Thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Thank
bye,
you
bye,
for
bye.
Calling. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
She has some very good points, and being a natural empath makes it hard.
Yeah.
It's
an interesting lesson that you have to learn about. Actually, sometimes I hear messages that are rather blunt to me. Like, you don't know what that person's supposed to do. You don't know what that person is here to do. You don't know any history about that person. You don't know what they did in any past lifetimes. You haven't the foggiest idea what that person needs. So keep your mouth shut.
Do you ever get impressions or messages that you don't give?
What do you mean?
Well, do you ever, you know, if you're working with someone or if you're reading someone, do you ever get something that you just don't give because you don't feel it's appropriate?
If I don't feel it's appropriate, then it probably hasn't come from love.
Okay.
It's ego trying to butt in with something.
That's a very good point. I have found that usually if I am giving a reading, I've never gotten anything negative. So, you know, but that question has been posed to me a number of times of late, and I believe you've given the most appropriate answer
nothing negative ever comes from spirit. It's ego trying to interfere with the message that gives the negativity. So even if I get a card when I'm reading somebody and it's one of the more difficult cards, I always work around it with a positive vibe, because negativity never helps anyone.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very true. I think that of the and the three books that I've read, Love Human and Walking Through Illusion and The Mirror Theory, and they all have a common thread. And I find you've approached the same material in different ways so that people are drawn to what fits them the best. And
I really thoroughly enjoyed all of them. I think that the one that resonated with me the most was walking. Well, no, it wasn't the Walking Through Illusion. It was the Love Human book, because you do talk about who we are and where we come from, and you know how we are meant to serve ourselves through the journey through this lifetime.
Yes, we're all here as individuals. We're all uniquely ourselves with our own history and our own things we want to learn here. We gave ourselves the lessons we thought would work, and everybody else is doing the same thing. And, you know, what we see in the picture sometimes looks so dramatic, where the people are going through drugs or severe illness or stuff. It's hard sometimes to trust their soul believes that that's helpful, or they wouldn't be experiencing it. But I truly do believe that. And I truly do believe that healing comes from within, because I have, I believe in Louise Hay's book, Heal Your Body. Mm-hmm. I have it like my Bible, and I have gone to it, and I have healed myself of things that I had in my mind and head that were diseasing, putting dis-ease in my body. And so I believe it works, and I believe that we are more powerful than we ever deemed possible.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that one, and it really is. When Louise Hay's book is fabulous. I totally agree with you on that.
When I came back from, I can give you an example if you want to hear about it. But
sure.
I came back from California to where I grew up, and as soon as I came back, all the old grudges were coming up that were unresolved really before I left, and it started festering in me, and I developed a lump in my back, and I have a lot of cancer in my family. So I went to the doctor immediately, and she said, yes, you have your lump in your back, and I want you to go in for a MRI tomorrow at the hospital, and I'm going to schedule it for you in the morning. And so I said, okay. So then I came home that night, and I looked in Louise Hay's book, and for lumps, it's resentment and grudges. And so I thought, well, okay. So I did a meditation that night, and during the meditation, I was thinking of all the angry things, I was thinking about all the things that these people had done for me in a positive way. You know, instead of always harping on what they had done to me that was hurtful, I started remembering what they had done to help me. And I started, you know, the positive started replacing the negative in my mind. And during the meditation, I felt this stream of creamy light come all the way up my body. It was the most miraculous feeling. Because I had released it, and I had released it through tears and through prayer and through seeing where I had diseased myself, mm-hmm. diseased my body. And so I went in for the next day for the MRI, and the doctor called me in the afternoon. And she said, well, it didn't show up on the test, but I want you to go in for more tests. And so I said, well, before I do that, I have to tell you what happened. And so I told her what happened. And she said, well, come in and let me take a look. And I went in, and the cyst, or the, whatever it was gone. And so I really believe that in everything is reflective. Even our bodies are reflective. So whatever diseased thoughts I had in my head came out as disease in the body. So when I healed my head, the body followed.
And that's an amazing story, and I can certainly I can relate to it. But I want people to understand that there's a difference between what you do in your mind and what you do in your emotional body. And you obviously were connected enough so that you were able to facilitate that release. Sometimes you can't think your way through evolution. You can flow with spiritual energy through evolution. You can allow the universe to open the pathway for you, and you can move through evolution, but you can't. It's not a thought process.
It's an emotional process.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and if you if you can't make that connection, then you need to actually, it's there, and it's certainly the bridge to it is accessible to everyone, and everyone can make that connection. It's just that you obviously had an amazingly fabulous connection and were able to do that process. For others, it's something that you know, seeking that bridge to the emotional, to the spiritual aspect of the self is not an overnight process.
No, it is, and it wasn't for me either. But it is about honesty. If you can be honest with yourself in the privacy of your own home, in your own room, in your own little place, where and not feel guilty about admitting to awful feelings, because it's the awful feelings that were doing me in. They weren't hurting the other people I had the awful feelings about. They were hurting me. Mm-hmm. And so I had to ask myself, what's going on here? And where is this? What is what in my mind reflecting in my body? And that's really what it's all about. So when you clear the mind or the thoughts, the thought process, of changing your thought process to a healthy process instead of an unhealthy process.
Oh yeah, and our bodies are so sensitive. They do give us messages all the time.
Absolutely.
And being not grabbing the ibuprofen or whatever as rapidly, it's important to understand what's going on. And I had, I guess 2 years ago or so, my sister and her husband come for Christmas every year. And this 1 year, for some reason, there was some sort of tension, stress, or whatever. And by the second day they were here, I had a crick in my neck that was just so awful. It was so painful. I didn't know what to do. And then when I finally realized, my sister is becoming a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
And when I realized that, first I laughed at myself, and then I thought, okay, so let's just laugh at the situation and not let the stress and the tension get to me, because this is painful. And as soon as I made that connection, the pain went away.
Yeah.
It was a matter of are you do you see what's going on? And then it's an amazing process.
You must have been allowing her to be a pain in the neck.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Yeah, you were allowing her. So as soon as you disallowed her, then the body was fine.
Yeah, and Louise Hay's book comes in, and that's very effective as well. But when there's something going on inside of your body and it seems to be preventing you from doing something, sometimes that means that perhaps you weren't meant to do what it is you were about to do. I know that I used to work fairs. I used to do 56 fairs a year, and I didn't like doing them, but I did them anyhow because I knew the person who ran them and he was a good friend and I didn't want to let him down. But eventually I had an accident at one of the fairs and I was unable to do them. And it was like, the universe was saying to me, all right, dummy, you've been complaining. You didn't take it upon yourself to make the change and shift and to move. So we'll give you the reason. And so for almost a year, I was, rehabbing from the accident that I had. And when he said, are you coming back? I said, I don't think so. I can't afford to get hurt again. So
I love that story, Barbara. That's great, because I believe that's the kind of stuff happens too. Sometimes you just have to say, wait a minute. Why am I obviously bucking my soul here?
Oh, yeah. No, I literally got knocked to my knees. I tripped over something. I did a 180 in the air, and I landed on both knees on the solid concrete floor. Mm-hmm. And nothing was broken. Bruised like crazy, but nothing was broken. Yeah. And it was like, okay, so if I decide to go back to the fairs, I got a feeling that the next time I'll break something. So no thanks. I'll stop right here with this. And it was, I had been saying, I need to get back to writing. I need to get back to doing other things. And so it was like, I often tell people I need the 2x4 in the face because I don't take the subtleties the universe gives me. But if you learn to take the subtleties.
Right. You become more aware, and you become more aware after you have this understood how it happened, the one time, so that you're aware the next time. It's not as painful the next time. You don't wait as long.
Well, no, I have to admit that there's a part of me that is aware that the ego is involved in a lot of this stuff, and therefore I don't want to let the ego be the one that makes the choices and decisions. So I usually want the universe to really, take control of the situation. I'm not thrilled with the way it's done it the last couple of times.
That's so interesting that you have that story, because I was doing fairs too. And I was feeling like some of the drives were almost too much for me. To the fairs, and what happened was I developed arthritis in my hand, so I couldn't hold the wheel.
Ah.
So that's a message too in its own little.
And the universe really will, especially if you have said, I don't want to do this anymore, I need to stop it. If you say it too many times and you don't actually act on it, the universe will do it for you. It just does it in a way that is, usually a little more uncomfortable than if you had had the whatever to
the
actually
self-love. The self-love.
Yes, to put it in action. Yeah. Since all of this has gone on, he's asked me back, and I've said, it's really better for me to do what I'm doing now than to come back and do the fairs. It's kind of like that was a phase in my life that is over, but I'll continue to do the one that is in my neighborhood because I owe that to you. But I have other things that I have to do. And it was 56 days a year. It was every weekend just about. There was a fair or two. And so I felt my time was better spent in other places. And so I was given.
And so does your soul.
I guess so.
I guess so. And
it does happen to us over and over again in our lives, because we do, when we know something is true, when we're complaining about something and we know it's appropriate, if we don't take action, action will be taken for us, but it's not outside action. It's our soul setting something up.
Yeah. I agree with
that. So, there's not a committee out there sitting and saying, well, she's waited this long, let's just give her an accident. It's because I'm not a clumsy person. I don't fall. But that knocked me to my knees quite literally. And they're both still functional and everything works, but it was an important lesson for me, quite obviously. Yeah,
the body is a great tool.
And we need to pay attention to
it.
Now you have arthritis in both your hands, yet you've been able to write at least 3, if not 4 books here.
Although the arthritis is getting better. The arthritis is getting better, and it was just in one hand, but I thought it was so interesting that it happened that way, that I didn't have the self-love to stop. And so my soul just sort of took care of it for me. So, which is what you're saying too.
Yeah, it's energy. And when we put that energy out there, we set something in motion, and it's a very cool aspect of being human. And it's not something to be feared or anything like that, but it makes you more aware and more attuned to what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
And with the opposite, we create our reality by our perception of it. If it's, I don't want to do this, this is too much for me, I think I should be doing other things. If that is going out there, then that's what it becomes.
And when in Louise Hay's book of arthritis is about grabbing for something. So I was grabbing for the fairs, grabbing for the fairs, and it wasn't the best place I could spend my time either. So,
well, don't you think too that that's part of control and trying to control your journey as opposed to allowing it?
Absolutely, yes.
None of us really know where we're going. We are along for the ride. We did schedule it, we mapped it out, and now we're on that journey. And
letting go.
I don't know. I don't mind flowing with it. I don't like white water stuff. and the new thing I'm putting out there is my life is drama free. I am flowing with what spirit wants, and therefore there will not be, you know, excessive drama in my life. And if there is excessive drama, then clearly I have decided to take over steering for a while, which is probably not the smart thing to do. and when I hear myself complaining about, nah, there's too much drama here, it's like I say to myself, and where did you take over? And, you know, and then I realized I did. I tried to manipulate. I tried to change things. I tried to manage other people in my life. And in so doing, I took myself off my own pathway.
Right. Right.
And it was like, damn, all right, let's just get back to the regular pathway.
and that's the wonderful thing that you can do when you are willing to look at yourself. You can release it without judgment and without any kind of self-loathing for the fact that you couldn't do it right away. It's like just a process, you know. It's just a process of listening to yourself and listening to your soul and listening to staying aware of what's going on. I mean, we don't always succeed, but every time we don't, it makes it a little easier to be aware the next time.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the most important qualities that all of us, it's standard operating equipment to the earth plane. It's one of those things that we all have, and it enables us to do magical, wonderful things if we use it. And not everyone applies it to all aspects of their lives, and that's a sense of humor.
Yes.
And laughter is absolutely the strongest tool that I know of. And being able to laugh at yourself, oh my goodness.
It's such a relief, isn't it? I know, it's such a relief.
Yeah, while a spiritual journey is a very serious, wonderful process, and it's mystical and it's magical, but if you make it too much of a ritual, if you cloak it down with all sorts of ritual and stuff like that, and you don't have, it's called enlightenment. It means lighten up.
Yeah.
And if we can employ laughter, in every aspect of our lives to the degree that it is actually socially appropriate, life takes on a magical. That's when magic happens. That's when there's a greater vibrancy to all aspects of our lives. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think that's what keeps us young.
I think it is too. I remember getting a phone call from somebody I didn't know. They called me out of the blue and told me that they had read some of my work and that I wasn't looking for the right information with my channeling. I should be looking for dates that this happened and dates that happened. And I remember thinking I was so stunned. I never knew the person. I just picked up the phone and they started telling me what I should be doing instead of what, you know, and I hung up and I said, okay, so who have I been telling what they should be doing? And I found that person that came to me immediately who I'd been telling what they should be doing. So, it's amazing how the universe works with this. But that's another example of how that energy is out there, and you never know where that energy is going to come back from. Somebody you never heard of, you don't know, it just calls you on the phone out of the blue to give you the message.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. Every now and then I will get something that is so critical and so nasty and so mean. I want to respond in kind, and I this one I catch, and usually I respond to those emails and stuff with, thank you so much for taking the time to give me your opinion. I certainly will, you know, listen to it and see where it's applicable and utilize it. And even if it's, you know, the trash basket,
and that's so important too, I think, Barbara, because if you lash back at the person, what you're doing is perpetrating what you don't like instead of healing it. So
yeah, Patrick just suggested take it under advisement. Yes, it's a wonderful, you know, I want to ignite. Somebody took the time to send me something, even though the content wasn't, you know, wasn't glowing, but you know, they did take the time, and I, you know, appreciate the fact that they did that. And I do pay attention to those kind of notes. I think that, you know, I wonder where they're coming from and why I needed this reminder. And like you said, find where it applies and apply it and trek on. And yeah, it's kind of cool because it does keep you grounded, and grounding is really important in this field.
It really is. It keeps you aware.
Absolutely.
Of what's going on around you. Yeah.
It is exciting. Now, the one thing I did want to put out there, your website is www.betsythompson.com, people, and it's a really cool website. It does talk about all of your books and your philosophy. Uh-huh. Is there a new book that is coming out?
There is a new book coming out. It's called You Are What You Think, Make Your Thoughts Delicious.
Oh, that's great. It sounds like a great title.
Yeah, it's not out yet, but it will be coming out hopefully before the end of the year.
Well, you'll have to come back and we'll have to talk about it.
Yeah.
I have to. I think one of the great things about this show for me is that I get to read so many books and then talk to the people that wrote them and you know, compare philosophies. It really is a very exciting part of my life these days. Now, do you do readings for people as well online, or do you have appointments? Is there a number they can call?
I don't do it online, and I don't really push it. I was doing it at the fairs, and I do it for people if they call and they want me to do it for them, but I don't push it because the truth is I would rather be writing, but you know, if it falls into my life, I do it, and I happily do it, and I enjoy doing it.
Well, it's a great way of finding out where one is on a personal level, I find. But your website is beautifully done, and your books are there for people to get a look at. And I mean, frankly, I'm terribly impressed that Bernie Siegel wrote a blurb for your book, Love Human. He's a nice
man. Yeah, I've been on his radio show. He says he loves my books, and so that's wonderful. I'm happy he loves the books. I'm happy it's bringing happiness to other people.
Well, that's a great endorsement. You know, you don't get much better than him.
Yeah.
But I think that you know, people should take a look at these books because it does give you a way of understanding that you have more control over your life, and you have more control over the happiness and the abundance and the wisdom that comes into your life. It's out there for you to open to. It's not in there for you to open to. And it's something that we all have access to, that it's not something that somebody teaches us. It's something that we allow to evolve from within. And you empower people with your books because you give them the tools and the understanding that they have the potential to do all of these wonderful things that other people do.
Well, thank you for that, because that's the goal. That's my goal, to empower other people. For them to know that they do have the power to change, and they do have the power to create what they wanted to create, and they do have that power within them. We all have the love of God within us. We are all one, and within that oneness, you find your reflection, and it's a gift.
Absolutely, but it's a gift that keeps on giving too.
Absolutely.
You know,
it keeps on giving, even if you don't want to receive it.
that's true, but. But it's sort of like every, you know, people go through dry spells where we're supposed to be applying what we've learned and stuff like that. And then something new unfolds for us. And it's like, and with me especially, it's an exciting time. I want to thank you again. Music is signaling us that we're done. But thanks again.
Thank
you. And I'll have to have you back on again.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
My pleasure.